Okay, so thank you very much for joining this session here today, which was put up by Raphael after we had a nice chat and we wanted to do this session here together. It's about open hardware. There are many people who run like open hardware projects or got started with open hardware projects in Debian and around in the community. So we were interested in inviting more people to tell us what's going on with open hardware around Debian and what is everyone doing. We already had some sessions here about electronics and details and so on. So this session is about open and free hardware. We can still like discuss this definition as well. And yeah, so welcome to the session here, which is like for 45 minutes until 5:15. And yeah, I hand over to Raphael, who is from China, and I'm Mario, by the way, from Germany. So Raphael, you have some introductions here.
Hi, I'm Raphael Li from Shenzhen, China, which is a city for we can find the electronic components very easily. So with that kind of advantages, we've had made a lot of hardware related projects. We are in a community which is called Shenzhen DIY, which is derived from Shenzhen Lag. So we are Shenzhen Lag is a pure software community, and we want to make our hardware. We want to have our own place, so we make so we rent another place and set up the Shenzhen DIY community. There we have some mechanical devices, including CNC, a small desktop CNC machine and laser cutters and different kinds of 3D printers. So we make some hardware there.
Yeah. So where is it based in Shenzhen? I know there is the. Let me move this microphone slightly. Okay. I know there is Huachangbei. There's this space, for example, Troublemakers. Quite a funny name, but and there are maker fairs and so on. Where is based in Shenzhen, and how many people do you have already participating in your community?
Our community have no more than 30 registered members, but for all the members who is in the mailing list, it is around 500. So we are mainly the place we rent is in the central of Shenzhen near Shenzhen University. It's quite easy to find. We moved to there last October. So before that, we are in living a village in city. After that, we live in a better place.
Yeah. Of course, we all want to know like about the tools and so on, and what projects are you doing. So maybe we start with the tools. So how much can you already do like with free and open source tools? How far do you get? Like how accustomed are people to free tools?
For free tools now, for electronics design, EDA tools and programming for embedded, and even software developed on PC, we can do it all with free softwares. For PCB design, we use KiCad, and for embedded software, we use ARM9 EABI GCC and ARM9 EABI GDB, and other softwares we develop with GCC or Python or some other free softwares.
Yeah, so sounds like you're using a lot of different tools for different projects. So now we're very curious, what kind of projects do you have already? What kind of projects are you using?
So I can show you a little bit on the PC. We have GitLab. I have made a project which is called USB cable cracker. It's which is a device that can measure the quality of the different USB cables. It supports from type A, type B, mini USB, USB 3.0, and micro USB, and even USB type 3. So this project is all developed by free software. With that device, you can, when you have different kinds of USB cables, you can measure all of them using this single device. So in our hacker community, we have more than 100 different types of USB cables. It's very convenient to have a standard instrument to measure all of the qualities and cut the bad out. So we made this project. I hope this will benefit everyone who has a lot of USB cables. So this we've sold this USB cable cracker we have sold 20 USB cable crackers in different kinds of make fair and offline meetings. It works pretty well. Even another hacker, Bunny Huang, who bought one from me.
Yeah. Bunny Huang is the original hacker of the Microsoft Xbox.
Yes, yeah? Kinect.
And he's based in Singapore, so and also often in Shenzhen, right? So he bought one from you, so pretty cool. And you also showed me a keyboard earlier today, so that's another cool project that you're doing.
Yes, I built this keyboard for my daily use. Before that, I used HHKB for typing, but HHKB does not fit all my requirements, so I decided to make my own. Then we have this keyboard. There are a lot of customized functions in this keyboard. If you are interested, I can give it a short description.
Please go ahead. Would be great.
Well, this kind of keyboard, all the keys are aligned in a rectangular way. So when you put it in front of you instead of on the left corner, it fits your fingers more conveniently. And your left hand does not need to turn for maybe 30 degrees to fit that keyboard. So there are 8-bit switch on the top of the PCB, so the user can select the different layout of this keyboard. It supports double rack and QWERT now. Maybe someday I will support COMAC. It's not easy for it's not hard for adding another layout into this keyboard. All the things you need to do is modify the firmware.
Yeah. So, and there are different colors here. Is there different? Is it shiny? Or what's the reason for this? Some protectors, or what's the reason for it?
No. These are for just easier for identify the different keyboards, identify the different keys. There are the F key and J key have some markers on it, so when you can type blindly without looking in the keyboard. Other keycaps are modified for the same kind of reason. So the not often used keys are with keycap to tell the difference between different keys. So it's basically all these keycaps are modified for typing blindly.
So how much is how far is this keyboard open, for example, or when you do projects, how open can you do that? So we had different discussions here at DevConf as well, for example, the chip is not open in many projects. The keyboard doesn't have a chip, but so how far can you go? For example, is anything laser cutted or 3D printed, or how do you build it, the different components?
Well, the PCB is all designed using KiCad, which is a free software without problem. And the microcontroller on it is STM32. The chip itself is not.
Have a chip,
The chip itself is not free, but the tool chain we use is free. I use ARM9 EBI GCC for compiling and ARM9 EBI GDB for debugging. And all the project is based on makefile. And other parts, there are quite a lot of keys which I bought in from. I bought a second-hand keyboard and take the keys apart and then to use them build my own keyboard. Other parts are all free, I think.
Okay, and so now like when I talk to hardware people from China, like some people say to me, oh, well, actually, like we know open source, we know free software, but like inside China, it often feels as if it is open already, yeah? Because like hardware developers from different companies and so on, they exchange information, they have access to different toolkits and so on. So what is your reason for now going a step further and actually focusing on tools that are really free? Because we often hear from hardware developers in China, well, for me, it's no problem. I can get access to whatever I want. But what is your idea of making something and advancing the free software and free hardware, open hardware community?
Well, Shenzhen DIY, we recommend to use different free softwares. But the freedom, the other side is that allow people to use whatever they want, even if it's a proprietary software. So I think that is another kind of freedom. So I've replaced all my software development environment into free software. I'm encouraging my colleagues and my friends to do that. I'm recommending different softwares to them.
Yeah, but do you have any like idea why are you doing this?
Well, you know, 2 years before I just installed my Linux on my computer, and gradually I found it fits all my need and all the functions I can implement it in a very easy way. I can use different kind of script to automation to make my daily activities automation, and when I reinstall the system, I do not have to click my mouse here and there to set all my settings. All I want to do is synchronize my home folder into another machine's home folder, and all my settings get back. So it saves me a lot of time. And for my daily use, I wrote a lot of scripts to make some actions even faster, and I felt that is very enjoyable. When I found an answer of some problems, that answer won't change for several years. Not like Windows. In Windows, the different versions have so many differences. And when you get the settings here in this version, it won't work in another version. And it cannot stop from upgrading. When you are doing something really important and the computer started upgrading, you can do nothing with it, right?
Yeah. So this is great to hear, because like I remember in the past, like people said, okay, free software doesn't always have the features required by users, or like it's not working for some people. And it seems like here with the free software community, we advanced much further than some proprietary applications or settings or operating systems already could. So great news, great to hear this story. And we have the first questions here.
Okay, so I'm quite frustrated with the keyboard on the market, especially the laptop ones. And the most recent trend makes all the keyboards on laptop suck. So therefore, I want to get a touch on the keyboard. Would you mind me to?
Okay, cool. Sure. Sorry, of course. Let's pass this around.
Possibly pass around the audience.
Okay.
There are some functions please. You will not get familiar with when this USB keyboard is not really working. So there are a lot of function case implemented in the hardware way. When you can, You can press the Fn key and J for home, another for end, another for delete. With this kind of layout, you do not need to move your hand around to access different keys. So although there is up, down, page up, and page down on my keyboard, but I can make, I already make some other hotkeys for that. So you cannot try this kind of
functions. But I want to get a feeling of it.
Okay, sure, sure. Okay.
So, yeah, thank you.
And you find me in the noise lab.
In the noise lab.
You can have a...
Please have a look around, then like pass the keyboards to others. Maybe others also want to try out. And yes. So a request that I have here, for example, so you're not making the keys yourself yet, and probably production is quite challenging, but would be cool like if we get a keyboard that's completely open, like let's say schematic 3D, the 3D file, you know, for the keys and so on as well. Maybe like it's something you could do in future as well.
Yes, sure. I am going to share. The reason that I did not put this project on the internet is that I did not write a good manual and good comments for the for the source code. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but like now we have a lot of people here who would probably like love to help you, and he's already very excited about it. So I hope to see that online soon. And we have the next question here.
Just out of curiosity, that have you tried other open source, open hardware keyboard like GH60s?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so I'm curious that have you ever compared your ones to their, like the budget issues or keyboard layout costs, those kind of things? Because I remember I get a GH60 for about $100. So how much is the cost to make yours?
Well, the raw cost of my keyboard is really, really cheap. I got a lot of all the keys I use in my keyboard are second hand. So it's for other manufacturers, the PCB, I've got 5 PCB for about 20 USB American dollars. And others for the processor, STM32, it costs me around $5.
Okay.
That's most of the bill of materials. It doesn't cost much. And for GH60, I remember that it is a AVR-based controller. So with AVR-based, the frequency is lower, the performance is lower, and there is not quite good toolchain on Linux to program it. Yeah, although there are some AVR dude, yes, maybe.
I think that it's quite easy to write a firmware as well. But you get a point because the frequency is low, so some jitter might happen if you type too fast. I think.
Okay. No, that won't be the problem. The human input frequency is much lower than than the processor's frequency. This won't be a problem. But for AVR development,
I've encountered some kind of jitter. I don't know why. Maybe the production quality is not well as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. Thanks a lot. So there are other open source free keyboards out there. And I would like to know, are there any other projects that, because you said you have 30 people in your space, working on that. Could you name a few other projects? What are people working on at the moment? And maybe give us a wrap-up that would be very interesting.
There are some lists on this Shenzhen DIY website. We have a list of projects. Yeah, here we can get on that. Yes, the first round name is Artarnis, which is a. Okay. Press. Okay. Which is a GNU official project. So the members then joined to the GNU because of this project, and there are some other reasons. So this project is started in Shenzhen DIY community, and it is based on web architecture. With simple command, you can set up your own web server and web pages, and the web server is aimed for high performance web servers. The communication in this web server are all asynchronous. So and green thread is used.
As we're focusing on hardware, are there any specific hardware projects, especially?
Okay. Yes. Sorry. There are some, but it's not well documented.
Yeah, so documentation is always like a challenge. Okay. So maybe you can just tell us like that. What are these projects doing?
Well, we are we have a lot of members in our community can both design software and hardware, and we may come get some projects. So we have designed a climate station, which uses the 8266 processor for Wi-Fi access, and with that kind of device, we can get the PM 2.5 and temperature and humidity and all of the data into our web server. So this is, and we designed a laser cutter case for that PCB.
Yeah.
And a small screen.
Okay, so you're doing many things in your hackspace. How about like when you have visitors? Did you already get like international visitors to your space?
Yeah, sure, a lot.
If I come over, can I work like a week in your space and hang out with you guys? How
yes,
does it work?
Sure. There's a one day there are more than 50 visitors from different kind of the different parts of the world visiting us.
Yeah, so that's possible, and I just get in touch with you through the website.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
There is email.
Yeah,
there is email there.
Okay, good. So this is great to know. And before we go like to the audience more in the middle, because I know that many people are doing their project, I would also like to show a project that the FOSS Asia community is doing. And open hardware. I don't know. Some of you might have seen it already. So we also like producing open hardware with the Pocket Science Lab. In the community, and there is the main developer is the Padmal. He is in Sri Lanka. Other developers are in India, in Germany, and in Singapore. So it's a very nice team like across Asia. And the idea of the Pocket Science Lab is to have an instrument where you can measure different electronics, for example, where you can measure resistance. We have a capacitance measurement here. And also you can connect many sensors. So there are hundreds of sensors compatible. This means you could use this device, for example, for let's say biology lessons or even chemistry. For example, you could measure the CO2 in the air, or you could measure even radioactivity. And it's like completely open hardware, except for the chip, what we mentioned already before. So anyone interested, please check out pslab.io. It's a very developer-focused website still, which you can see here. And you find all the repositories there. There is an Android app. There's like different repositories are linked here. We also have a desktop app. Where we look for interested package maintainers here in the Debian community who would like to package these different apps for the desktop. So that would could be one place where we could collaborate more. And we are also using KiCad for this. So if you're interested, please get in touch with us. Check out the different applications. I will also hand this around, and I think now we would love to hear more from the audience, right, Raphael? Like, what are you guys doing? I know, for example, here our friend from Beijing was like yesterday already looking very interested to the hardware. So we know that there are many hardware developers here. So what projects are you doing here in the community? What's going on in the community? This is a buff, so we hope to get some more information from you guys. And I think the microphone is open. Please feel free to grab it and give us some information.
Yeah, before we start the topic of what the audience make, I want to share my view of free software and open hardware. So since we are in DevConf, a lot of us are quite familiar with free software. There are the free software means you can distribute it freely and modify freely and get the source code and the document freely. But for and we can use it in anywhere you want. But for hardware, the price is not free, itself is not free. And we are, and the chip, the implementation of the chip is not free. But we try to make every other part free, including we use free software for hardware development, including so the people can modify the design files freely instead of using some proprietary software. So I think that is the main point of open hardware. A lot of companies use some proprietary softwares for their kind of open hardware, but when the document is design document is released, we cannot modify it with what we can got. I think that is what I believe in open hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like probably everyone would agree here in the room with that. I still personally have a challenge with I met Stormen and he said to me like call it free hardware, but I think free hardware is like people actually do think it's for free. It's not the same as with software which you can share for free. You don't have to produce it, but like I think we will figure this out. The important thing is actually that we do it, that we do share all the sources, right? And we have.
I have a feeling that it would be very helpful in international relations if these copyright issues could be much simpler, if there's a commitment to open free sharing of the source. It could help a lot in the East-West, you know, the China question of fake hardware. I don't have to tell people what that is, but so this is my hunch, but what is your experience? Do you see that Chinese manufacturers or developers see this advantage? Can you get people to understand why it would be easier if the license was open?
Sorry, I did not get too long. You mean
can you convince people of the benefit of copyleft? Do people understand?
Well, people will understand it gradually. So we are telling people what free software is and tell them to try free software and free operating systems. Yeah, but it takes time. But I think things will getting better and better. For our company, we are trying to make all of our development tools toolchain free. So and our CTO is highly influenced by free software like 10 years ago. So he So he convinced other colleagues to try free software and using them in development. We are getting better and better, but it takes time. It takes time. The kind of our company is quite rare in Shenzhen and in China. But 10 years ago, even in community, you told people to use free software for development, for compiling. It's not possible. All of them use some Windows compilers. So things are getting better and better now. Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
In my opinion, for free hardware, it is better to how it is more reproducible by independent party. I mean that, so currently I'm considering another free hardware, but my concern is the availability of the chip. I mean that, you know that, the GD chip is only available in Chinese market. So I think that I should not select the chip, perhaps. So my opinion is that if it is free hardware design, but if it depends on some specific distribution channel, it's not good. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think it's a very important point. And Nibe-san, I don't know if everyone knows about your project. Could you maybe also share?
I'm from GNU PG project, and I am developing by free hardware design the token for GNU PG. It's called FSD01. And in this conference, I also distribute another free hardware design of a kind of toy of LED matrix. It's free as beer. So please, we have a booth there. FSIJ, Free Software Initiative of Japan, and we are distributing a toy of LED matrix. And the hardware design is available by KiCad, and the tool chain, and the firmware is also available as a free software.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like especially with your project, I also know like we had some links with another project, which is the Nitro Key of Jan Suhr in Germany. And that was really great to see this collaboration and cooperation across projects, where actually in the Nitro Key features of your project were implemented in
design.
That key. How did that work out?
Nitro Key just use my design of FSD01, and they depend on my development of GNU PG SC demo. Yes,
yeah.
They are users of my work.
Yeah,
and so actually, we have a very good relationship between FSIJ and Shenzhen DIY.
Yes, we already met 3 times.
yes. Every year I visit.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Nip-san is a very important developer in GNU PG project. He designed a smart card-like hardware to store your private key in. So, and it cannot be read out through software. So the work like this, when you set a public key signed message into the GNU key, and the GNU key itself will decrypt that message and send it back to the computer. So the key is stored in the microcontroller safely.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as far as I understand, also the Linux Foundation uses this project, as the Nitro Key is available like by any kernel developer, by the way, who wants to get such a key,
yep.
Can apply with the Linux Foundation and get this delivered for free to their address to use it for kernel development. So it's actually soon, or maybe already, it's the case that every kernel developer will somehow use your work as well, right?
Yes, it will be possible. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is really great, and also like, of course, like then companies will follow in, and we're getting like this idea of open and free hardware out there. So thank you very much, and we have more questions here.
Since that you have mentioned the chip is not open source, but for nowadays, I think that will be much more easier for people that tries to implement their own chips. Just like the, it's the last year, November 29th, at the RISC-V, the seventh workshop of it is the RISC-V workshop. One of the kind of EDA tool, I don't know what the, what should I, how should I call them, but they are trying to set up service that it includes a cloud-based kind of Verilog or hardware description language IDE on the cloud, and they also have the kind the whole open source tool chain for people try to verify their implementation, those kind of stuffs. And finally, if you have sort of enough money, they can arrange shuttle for you to the fab house to finally have your ASIC implementation. And the fee, how much money you should put to make your ASIC is, they didn't mention it, but I think the price will go lower and lower and lower. So maybe, I think it's quite optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I see like you have a lot of comments on these topics. So I'm personally very curious, what are you working on actually? And so what is your work? Because you have a lot of knowledge in these areas.
Actually not, I'm just a graduate student and my work is not on the semiconductor. Yeah, so, but I played around RISC-V and OpenRISC back then. When I was year one of the college, I bought a very, very shady, very, very shady FPGA board and tried to burn the OpenRISC on it and run Linux on it. So that's why I have interest in the open hardware.
Yeah, so this is great. So, but like you have a lot of knowledge in this area, and if we have any questions here, we can also come back to you. For example, like this is what this BOF is about, like finding and connecting different people who are working in the area, right?
Okay.
Good. Thank you very much. And another question here from our friend in from Beijing.
Hello, everyone. And I want to address the greatest challenge for so-called open source hardware. That is, in hardware industry, the concept of free is not as adopted as well as well adopted as such a concept in software industry. For example, I can take YubiKey, a famous security device as an example. YubiKey is open to the community and provide open source software and management tools for us. But however, no one knows what the chip it is, and even if you are willing to create a free YubiKey, a free YubiKey, and
that's what he's doing. Yeah.
However, as far as I am concerned, that the security element chips is the document of that chip is not open, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. However, I should say we must in hardware industry we should improve the adoption of the concept of free, because nowadays many chips we cannot even find the documentation or the data sheet. That is a really, really bad thing for us designing hardware products. Yes.
Yeah. So absolutely, and I've heard from many hardware developers that they don't want to sign NDAs, for example, like Often you have to sign NDAs in order to get access to documentation.
Because normally for individual developers, we cannot sign NDA with companies. That is impossible. So we cannot get any design resources, and we can only select those chips with open documents. But those chips cannot meet our requirement.
Yeah. So we also need to talk to companies actually to release their documentation.
Yes,
for free.
Open documentary.
Okay, open documentation. So that would be the next step that you recommend. Also, what you're a student at Tsinghua University, and so you want to see also more of this in order to actually be able to learn about these technologies. Yeah. What is your experience here?
So I think RISC-V is a great opportunity for open hardware. So I'm quite optimistic in that area. And yeah, that's my opinion. In our company we even made patches for KiCad. Maybe sometimes we can put them into upstream to add more functions to KiCad. This is our contribution. Will be our contribution into the free software community.
Yes, I'm
trying to learn more about Linux and trying to pack some packages for Debian and or other distributions.
Yeah. So, and this hardware actually costs money. Yeah. I mean, you have to produce it. It would be great to see more collaboration in the community to actually exchange also like experiences. How have different people like produced hardware? And how did we do it? Yeah, how did you set up companies or did you set up foundations? How have you worked together with companies maybe in China or elsewhere? So I think this would probably be a topic for a whole new panel. Sharing experiences of real production, of like generating income, so more open and free hardware can be produced. And I hope we see more of it in the upcoming months and years. So I would like to thank everyone for their input here. Thank you, Raphael. Thank you all the participants here who have given insights into their projects and asked questions and put in ideas. And we have more electronics and hardware topics here in the upcoming days at Debian. Please check out the schedule. And let's keep this work here up and running and really get to the next level of free and open hardware. Thank you very much for joining.